Well, isn't it great to be together this morning worshiping the Lord? We are so blessed. And today's a special day. I think it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, I'm not sure, that we first here as a church family came in contact with the Ministry of Heart Choices in Beloit. I knew of their existence. I believe they were called Heartbeat Pregnancy Center at one time. And I knew about that and so on. You know, this is a topic in our country today that it's a very heated debate, okay? And it won't go away on its own. And so we, those of us who are pro-life, those of us who believe the Word of God, those of us who worship the Lord like we have this morning, have a responsibility to stand up for our conscience and what we believe in. And back then, 5 or 6 years ago, this church family adopted Heart Choices as our Christmas project. And if you all remember, that was a very neat time, a very rewarding time. And we raised, I can't remember, over $6,000. Alice and I went to all the churches in town that would let us come, and spoke to them. And the Ministerial Association, I was the president of the Ministerial Association at that time, and we did more or less a Concordia Church's type of campaign to raise money for Heart Choices. And since that time, we have a Heart Choices office right here in Concordia. So that's a very noticeable improvement. We had none, now we do. And also since that time, I have had the wonderful opportunity to serve on the board of directors of this awesome, wonderful ministry. God was tugging at my heart long before I told Alice yes. to get more involved with the pro-life movement. We gave into pro-life movement by supporting Concerned Women's of America, Beverly LaHaye's ministry, wonderful ministry, pro-life ministry. But God had been speaking to my heart about getting more involved, because this is a topic I'm very adamant about, and I hope you are too. I'm not here to change your political, your political views, but as Christians, the sanctity of life should be at the forefront of what we're about. That's my opinion, and that's God's opinion too, amen? I'm glad we're on board with God. But it's been a wonderful time to be on the board at Heart Choices. I've made some new friends, wonderful friends, people that I admire very deeply. And I'm excited about, board meetings have, some people have the attitude when you go to a board meeting, you go to get bored. But, I can honestly say when I go to a Heart Choices board meeting, I'm never bored, because it's a time when we sit down, open the papers, look at the results, look at what God has done since we got together the last time, and we are seeing wonderful things happen in this area because of this marvelous ministry. These two people are very dear friends of mine. Now, it's an honor for me to introduce them to you today if you've never met them. They are front lines soldiers in the Lord's army. And behind every woman, this is Alice Thompson. Alice, she's going to speak to us this morning. And behind every good woman is a good man. Larry, her husband, a very good friend of mine. I love these people. They made it possible for me to deepen my commitment to the pro-life movement, and I thank them for that. So I just want to tell you today, Alice is, we're going to hear about the Ministry of Heart Choices, our involvement with Heart Choices over the years, and what Heart Choices is doing now. But let that be a challenge to you today. Don't be entertained today. Be energized. Be energized to get even more deeply involved in the fight for the sanctity of life. We just have to do that. I was telling Pastor David this morning in some research that I've done preparing for a class I'm going to teach next week in Life Connection. Every single empire that has ever ruled on this earth fell because one of the reasons they went down was because they began to kill their young. Every single one. We can't let that happen to America. We have to stand up, take our stand for the sanctity of life and for what we know is right. This is just a part, as much a part of the light, so to speak, message that Pastor David's been giving us. If we're going to walk in the light, we have to take our stand for the sanctity of life, whatever that might be. The Holy Spirit will speak to you today, I'm sure, and he will show you in some way, shape, or form this morning something he wants you to do, to get involved. So you didn't come here to hear me preach. You came here to hear Alice Thompson. So Alice, my very dear friend Alice, thank you for being here this morning. Let's give her a big hand.
Has definitely been an honor to have Bob representing the Concordia area and just being a part of the board of directors. My name is Alice Thompson, my husband Larry joining me this morning. I was actually called and nudged through by the Holy Spirit in 2002 to become a part of this ministry that was in its early beginning stages, planning stages. And I will say, I came in really knowing nothing. And sometimes I think that's probably better. Anything that I thought I knew, I found out probably it needed to be changed or at least deepened for sure. This has been a definite God venture for me. And as I have been involved with Heartbeat Pregnancy Center, and then as the services, the ministry, the outreach began to grow and expand, changing to the Heart Choices name, it has been definitely something that has expanded me, has deepened my faith, and especially has deepened my value of the sanctity of human life. You know, when we talk about sanctity of human life, and of course during Sanctity of Human Life Month, and usually in January, we think about the babies, but we need to be thinking about entire life. And when you have experiences, as you have had this week, with a 15-year-old, we realize how precious life is and how we do not have guarantees. And so what is said today, how someone is valued or treated today, could be the last opportunity. And so it makes it all the more important. You know, some people really like surprises, and it was a surprise to me when I was called into this ministry, and I always knew that God, I had been called to ministry, and not necessarily to a pastoral ministry, but to a lay ministry of some sort. But it was a surprise to me when I saw how God had worked things together. I liked surprises. I still kind of do, but I find that as I get older, it sure is nice to be able to anticipate and plan, and especially if it's going to upset my plans, I'm not nearly as content with that. But we find that some people really like them. I like to surprise people, but then that's not always a gift to them. And so we find that many times life brings surprises. Sometimes they are a good thing, like a birthday party or a gift or an unexpected visit from someone that we love. But sometimes it can be something life-changing. And for those who are anticipating the possible pregnancy that they were not expecting, it can be life-changing, definitely, and maybe even life-altering. Just a brief illustration of maybe what some surprise might bring when it comes to parenting. And many of you may remember, possibly, back in the day when the fathers were not welcome into the delivery room when babies were born. Now, you people don't even comprehend that, you younger ones. But there was a day when the fathers were expected to stay out in the waiting room, and that was it. And you know, then the nurse would come out and announce to the father what their baby was. Was it a boy or a girl? Because they didn't know that either. And so there was a group of expectant fathers in the waiting room, and a nurse came out and announced to one of the fathers, "Congratulations, you have twins." And to which he said, "That is just amazing, because, you know, I play for the Minnesota Twins." And so I said, that's a real coincidence. And a few minutes later, then another nurse came out and announced to the father, she said, congratulations, you have triplets. And he said, that's amazing. I work for 3M. And so with this, as the trend was continuing, they noticed then one man hit the floor. And they went over and said, are you okay? Are you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm okay, but I work for 7-Up. So, not that that's a bad thing, but it might be a little surprise and a little overwhelming for sure. And so we know that that even parenting can bring some very unexpected opportunities and challenges along the way. And so Heart Choices, our mission is to help stand beside, to offer compassion especially in the midst of challenging situations, but also to have to offer help. And not to just help them to make that or encourage them, give them what they need to make that decision to choose life for their child, but to stand beside them and to support them. And, you know, I would like to just share an introductory video that has our parent organization, CareNet, they have provided and so beautifully expresses why it is important for us to be here in the church talking about this subject.
When it comes to the issue of abortion, it has become America's Holocaust.
Since the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973, at least 1 million unborn children every year have lost their lives to abortion. And countless women and men have had to suffer from the negative consequences of abortion.
Abortion provides temporary relief, but afterwards comes the bigger package of depression and guilt and shame and sorrow and regret that you live with for many, many years.
I come from a generation where at least a third of my generation isn't here because of abortion. And for me, that's just unconscionable, and I can't live in a society where millions upon millions of my fellow American citizens are not here.
We did a lot of research, and you know, one of the things that we discovered is that there are women in the church having abortions. Our research found that 4 out of every 10 women who has had an abortion was actively going to church at the time of her abortion.
And the reality is that when it comes to the abortion issue and the life issue, the church has not really been using that transformative power that it has around this issue. It's been an issue that's been outside of the church when the problem is inside the church and the church has a call to the broader culture. So we're inspired around this project specifically to do that.
Because it's an issue of life, and God is the author of life, that we must be in life-related issues. For us, it's a priority, and I think it should be a priority for any pastor who's concerned about comprehensive ministry.
As a Christian, our hope should be Christ's hope. And the last thing that he said was what? Go and make disciples of all nations. And certainly God has really given us an opportunity, a unique opportunity in this day and age in our culture for this life issue to be an amazing vehicle to help make disciples for Jesus Christ.
A life disciple is someone who is willing to work with women and men as they are facing a pregnancy decision.
As a life disciple, we have the honor and the privilege and the blessing of walking with people in the middle of their crisis.
When I was pregnant at 17, I went to our local OBGYN, and he asked me, is this good news or is this bad news? And I said, this is not good news. And he said, well, here's the number for an abortion clinic in New York City. And that was really the extent of the counseling that I had, or the care. You know, it was like, if this is an unplanned pregnancy, abortion is a solution. And if I had a life disciple at 17, I would have chosen life instead of abortion.
What conquers fear is love. And when you envelop this lady with love and encouragement and compassion, that I want to cry with you, I want to laugh with you, I want to embrace you, I want to love you, you've opened up the door to share the gospel. So the Bible is clear that God has authored life, he sustains life, and his goal is that we might have abundant life that Jesus Christ offers. And of course, the church is the best place to offer all of it.
I firmly believe the more educated people are about the abortion issue, the more and more people become pro-life and want to protect unborn children and women and men from the destruction of abortion. So that's really to the core of how we solve the abortion issue in our country, is to reach the people that it's impacting the most.
Our goal with this curriculum is for people who will be trained as life disciples and who have an opportunity to meet with people who are facing a pregnancy decision. I mean, people who have before them life or death. Our hope and our prayer is that you will help them choose life.
Life and death, that's the issue. It is not just a political issue. There's been a lot in the news that has made it political. But it is a biblical issue. And Jesus called us, he said, go and make disciples. And we have always quoted that verse. We have studied that verse in knowing that we needed to be discipling others for salvation, and then discipling them to be men and women of Jesus Christ. But we need to be disciples of life as well. That may look like a lot of different things to each individual person. It could be something different. But it has to happen, it has to begin with us as Christians who are Bible-believing, who believe in the sanctity of life. We begin by, of course, just affirming the fact that God is the creator of life. Genesis 1:27 tells us God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he repeats it, he created them, male and female, he created them. There's the statement, it's there. We are made in the image of God. And so when life is not valued, when life is attacked, when life is taken before God calls them home, we are actually attacking or God himself. What we know is that it is, as in the church, we sometimes feel sheltered from this. When a tragedy hits our community, we feel it personally. But when these abortions or when women are struggling quietly and we don't know about it, we don't feel the compassion as much. And we, again, that is where the Holy Spirit needs to come in and help us to understand how much we are valued, and how to feel and how to relate to those individuals. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So we know that life begins before ever it hits air, as I like to say in the counseling room. We know that sometimes those people who are struggling, those women or those men that are dealing with these issues, are actually sitting among us in our churches. in a research done by Lifeway Research. They polled 1,000 women, American women, who had terminated pregnancies, and found that at least 25% of those women said they were attending church regularly. And 11% said that they went at least monthly. So that tells us that there was probably two to three that were attending either monthly or more. And so it is happening there. But we're not hearing about it. And I realize that's kind of small. I apologize. But 52% of people in the church who had terminated a pregnancy said that no one knew and probably even knows yet. 38% say at least one person knows, and 10% don't know. So it's not just out there. It's not just an out there problem, but it is in our own communities, and it's definitely even in our churches. So we need to affirm life by affirming the Creator. As a church, as a community, Heart Choices was begun for that reason, to encourage the sanctity of human life, to make that known and to affirm it in our communities. And so a part of that means affirming that there are other options. It kind of bothers me that the anti-abortion people get the pro-choice name, because actually we are offering more choice. We are offering positive choice. There's the choice of adoption. As a community, we have to be able to present that, and not just to that one individual, but as a society, we need to change the whole complexion of how we see adoption, especially in the eyes of the birth mother. We hail it for the wonderful people who do adopt into their homes, and that's great. They are heroes, but the heroes are the ones who say, I choose a better life for this child. I choose life for it first, and then I choose another family. It is a positive parenting decision, and we must encourage that, and we must make sure that it is presented in a positive way. We also must guard our words and our attitudes and the things that we say. If we hear of a woman who is pregnant, even despite her situation, we have to be careful. How many of us have caught ourselves saying, oh my goodness, is she pregnant again? And yet, what we really need to do is to be able to say, wow, another life, another opportunity. How can we help? How can we offer compassion? James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We don't have to accept the same attitudes and views that we see on sitcoms. We are set apart. We know who created that life. We need to affirm parenting. And how do we do that? Again, with our words, our attitudes, and our actions. But we also might need to come along beside parents who are struggling, who have those toddlers running around and might need just a little break sometimes. They might need some movie tickets or a gift certificate to go out to eat, or maybe some babysitting just so they can sit down and talk to each other. Maybe they need adult conversation, and maybe even, yes, some counsel or some advice. But mainly they just need to know that they're supported and that they are cared for. And these are things that we can all do and be life disciples. In parenting, and at Heart Choices, we want to encourage that, first of all, with education and helping them to understand how best to provide for that child, how to take care and provide the best environment, a safe environment, and the best practices, understanding the bonding and the attachment that that child needs. And we also work with them on their relationships. Whether they are or are not with the father of the child, it's important that they know how to respect and get along with one another. And we know that as we do this, the family becomes stronger, and it becomes at least a way a little bit closer to what God has intended for them. We offer material support, parenting classes, and helping them to have everything they need to make better choices. And we need to affirm marriage. Again, being careful how we talk about our spouses and that type of thing, but not just waiting, sitting back and watching to see whether a relationship is going to make it or not. But we need to affirm the importance of the dedication, the oneness of marriage. And we need to make sure that they have everything that they need, whether it's education and people walking along beside them to answer questions or to offer support to help them through the tough times. We need to encourage marriage as a first choice rather than as the world encourages cohabitation first, a try before you buy type thing. And we need to affirm sex. We really do. We need to affirm it within the context of marriage as God has created it. Now, I'm sure you're seeing a familiar face up here on the screen. And we are very, very blessed to have on our staff at Heart Choices, Megan Nolf, who is a member of your congregation. Megan serves as our Director of Student and Youth Services and oversees the sexual integrity program that we have. Some of the ways that, some of the challenges that Megan faces, of course, as we all do, is that what we teach and what the Bible teaches is going definitely against the grain of the culture. We are hearing, our young people are hearing so many things about hooking up and about sex that are simply not biblically true. And when you take something out of context, it doesn't work. And we're seeing the results of that, definitely. And so Megan oversees the presentations that go into the local schools. Some of you may have had this presentation over here in Concordia, but Doug Twaddell is one of our presenters who takes the Seven Myths of Sexuality curriculum into the schools, talking about how to make positive, healthy life choices. And we do that definitely. We definitely do that in all of the other schools around that, and we are invited in. We have, she has coming very soon, Real Essentials, coming in the next couple of months, 11th and 12th graders, a new program that will be for them, does outreach to colleges, and of course the mantra for that is, sex is meant for marriage. We affirm life, as they say, abundant life. We want to disciple, we want to work with, walk alongside these clients, and offering hope. Not only to a girl who is maybe contemplating the possibility of abortion, but to those who have chosen life, to those who are in the parenting stages and are in the process of building their families. And we do that, we believe in Jeremiah 29:11, said it basically just encompasses the promise of hope that God has for every child, for every life. And for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans that are not for good and not for evil. Plans for hope and a future. And we believe that every life should have future. We do that over here in Concordia at the basement or the lower level of the health department. This is where our center is located. We also, we would provide the free pregnancy tests there. We do the pregnancy counseling there. It is amazing to see how this has grown in Concordia. We are seeing, we are about 50 to 60 sessions a month over here with only 2 days a week, because that's right now all we can have. So we need more volunteers. We need life disciples to come and walk along our clients there. Training is always provided. Another opportunity that we have been able to provide is, maybe you have seen the large mobile that sits on Walmart parking lot one day a month. And this comes from Salina. It's called the Image Clear Ultrasound. The gals can go right on to the ultrasound, have a pregnancy test, a medically verified test that comes through this medically certified and licensed unit, and then have an ultrasound if they are far enough along to have that, and see their baby right on site. Heart Choices has sponsored this and paid expenses to make this possible. We provide the material items of support as well. So as they come in for parenting classes or for sessions with a mentor or a life disciple, then they earn mommy and daddy bucks, and we do. We are excited that we are seeing so many men come in and take part as well. And so then they can use those to get diapers, wipes, and other items that might be needed for their... diapers and wipes, of course, are always a need for us over here. So what can you do? Well, pray for us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the darkness, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan does not like what we do. And isn't that wonderful? Because we know we are following God's law. And we are promoting, we are discipling people to have life, not just physical life, but abundant life as well. And so we fight battles. I've seen so often our staff, our volunteers, they begin to fight battles maybe outside. And we know it's because Satan's trying to slow us down or stop us. You can give. There are different ways, of course, to give. And we are so grateful that you as a congregation have chosen to support and give through your faith commitments. We appreciate that through your mission fund. That is needed. It has to happen in order for us to stay. And we are blessed for that. But anything you can do, volunteer, of course, we need more volunteers and disciples, especially over here in Concordia. The clientele is growing. And Donnie Underhill, who oversees this satellite, is just running herself ragged. She needs extra help. Please contact us if you can do so. And then, of course, just be available. Be available to people within your congregation. And if you see a woman who might be in need, or if just offer to walk alongside someone who is expecting or maybe has a new baby. And of course, donating items, and I put that separately from giving, because we always need diapers and wipes. So if you are in Walmart and you walk past the diaper aisle, throw a few in your basket. You know, we could always use them, that's for sure, because that's what keeps a lot of them coming in. And then, of course, just support us. We're always having, in addition to having donors who give to us, we have to make up the rest of it through fundraisers. Some of those, of course, this week we'll be selling Krispy Kremes, and then next Monday you can take part in the Crunch for a Cause at Taco Bell here. There are so many things. On the table outside, there are some materials, and I would appreciate it if you'd look through. And there's also some little contact information cards there, and you can complete those. I think Pastor is going to talk a little bit more about that. Most importantly, please, if you have not already, vote. It is important that we maintain the open communication within our government. to be able to do what we do, because it does stand at risk. Already some states have lost the ability to not promote or refer for abortion. And we will refuse to do that, but it's important that we take a stand as a church. Thank you so much. Of course, I could talk all day, and I think he thinks I have. So, but I do appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and just to say thank you, just to say thank you for all that you've done for us and to be a life disciple. Oh, sorry.